Off the Ball, GAA.
David Clifford is obviously on a different planet. Like, I actually think it's ridiculous that me and him both won the same award. Like, it's ridiculous. he's on a different level.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby Daily
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to Tuesday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we will have all the fallout from the Lions series in Australia as the Wallabies came back to win the third test and prevent a sweep. We will get the latest from the Ireland camp as they step up preparations for the Women's World Cup and what former Munster man could be on his way out of his club in France. But first to Sydney, and Australia prevented a series whitewash on a foul night of torrential rain and threats of lightning strikes that forced play to be suspended for 40 minutes. The Wallabies shocked the British and Irish Lions and won a riotous victory in the third and final test at Stadium Australia, 22 points to 12. The hosts and the underdogs were dominant for much of a dramatic evening, outscoring the Lions by 3-2. They led the Sydney Slugfest 8-0 through a Dylan Peach try and a Tom Lynott penalty at the end of an intense first half. Maro Itoje, Tommy Freeman and Australia's Tom Lynott all failed head injury assessments in a cruelly physical contest played in horrendous conditions. Lynott's exit came after Dan Sheehan appeared to catch him in the head at a breakdown. 3 minutes after the restart, James Ryan was knocked unconscious in a distressing incident where his head crashed into the knee of giant lock Will Skelton. As Ryan was being treated, a series of fights broke out around him. Then play was suspended after lightning was reported locally. 43 minutes had been played. After an absence of half an hour, both teams were back on the field for a warm-up. 10 minutes later, play resumed and the Wallabies struck again when the Lions gifted possession to wing Max Jorgensen, who ran away to score in the corner. Substitute Ben Donaldson's conversion made it 50-0 to Australia. Jack Morgan's try and Finn Russell's conversion narrowed it to an 8-point game, but the Wallabies hit back quickly. With Ronan Kelleher in the sin bin, Tate McDermott sniped in for Wallabies' third try. Donaldson converted and a thumping home win was secured. Will Stewart scored in the last act for the Lions, but it was too little too late. After the game, Joe Schmidt told Sky Sports that he was proud of his side.
I'm just relieved. I'm incredibly proud. I think we worked really hard to get that 8-0 lead, and then coming off for lightning, it could have destabilised things. And, to stay in the game, defend pretty well. We got a bit lucky. No better man than Max Jorgensen to get a loose ball to get away with the speed he has. And then, the way we stayed in the game, I thought was testament to the players' character, really, because it wasn't pretty. It wasn't necessarily the strategy that was anything different. It was really just a bit of that character.
And Lions head coach Andy Farrell said that despite Saturday's loss, they can still be proud of what they've done.
I can't wait to get into the changing rooms and just say what I need to say to the group, because although we're disappointed, we should be unbelievably proud of what we've achieved. Lions tours are tough, and to do what we've done last week and put the series in the bag, upon reflection after tonight, I'm sure we'll be super proud of the achievements.
Player of the series, Tig Beirne, told Sky Sports' Will Greenwood that the Lions' discipline perhaps let them down.
Yeah, of course, the medal's special. You know, the win was special. We got to celebrate that last week. And you kind of have to try ignore the fact we lost today, which is hard because, you know, the goal was to win today. And credit to Australia, they came out and, they took it to us in the weather. And unfortunately, we weren't able to come away with the win, but we still won the series, and that's all that matters.
Just one more question on tonight before we focus on the whole series. It just looked as though the energy wasn't quite there. Just put it into words how difficult it is to get up when you've already won a series.
I wouldn't have said that. I thought, you know, some of our defensive sets were excellent out there, and it was just probably the penalties just creeping offside once or twice, and we just kept giving them more opportunities. But, like, the amount of times we put them back when they just kept coming at us, I thought some of the defence set was brilliant. So I don't think the energy wasn't there. It was just errors. It was accuracy and our discipline that let us down today. And on another day, you know, we wouldn't have done that and we would have won, but credit to Australia.
Let's go back to the joy of winning a series and these special men you've played alongside. Just talk about some of them there having some fun. Schumann's doing a dance and he's a poet. Take us into the changing room.
Look, there's some special characters. Shuey's he's been so funny from day one. You know, it's so funny when you start to get to know people, the different quirks that everyone has, and you know, we've loved every minute of this. Everyone's got on unbelievably well, and it's kind of a bittersweet one because we'll celebrate tonight, but that'll be it. We'll never be in a change room again together, and you know, we'll only look back at this with fond memories until we have a reunion probably in 12 years' time here and get together.
Wallaby captain Harry Wilson said that he was happy to put some pride back into the gold jersey.
Yeah, obviously it's crazy what can happen in the week, the post-conference last week, but I'm just so proud of the team. It was a tough week for us. We were hurting, but to come out here, performance like that in front of 83,000 people, something to be proud of.
Out half, Finn Russell was named the title sponsor, Howden's Player of the Series, and he said that he loved everything about the tour.
Yeah, I think I love it. I mean, it's not ideal in the weather today, but I've loved this tour. I've loved getting to know the boys that I didn't know before, getting to know the coaches, playing a different style. It's an amazing tour, I think, when you have the Four Nations coming together and being able to travel around this time rather than being stuck in individual hotels. It's been amazing to see the country a little bit and to get to know the guys on the pitch and off it. It's been amazing.
Next up for the Aussies is the Rugby Championship. They take on world champion South Africa in less than 2 weeks' time at Ellis Park in Johannesburg. Schmidt says that despite losing the series, his side were not too far off.
No, it gets really tough. So next Friday we get together and head to South Africa. But I think they've earned the right to really enjoy this evening. And as disappointed as they're not going up on the podium, I think they know that they weren't far away.
The Lions will now be put into cold storage for another 4 years when they go to New Zealand in 2029. Sky Sports reporter Eleanor Roper asked Andy Farrell whether he would be in charge next time round.
He sure is. Can't wait to get back home and spend some time with the family, etc. Obviously, this has been a long time in the planning, but the best 8 weeks of our life also.
Fancy another crack at it in New Zealand?
Let's... Look, I've loved absolutely every single minute of it, but that's a long time off, isn't it?
England's second row, Ollie Chessam, said that he learned why Farrell is so good as a head coach.
He's an unbelievable coach, and an unbelievable person as well. It's no surprise that how he's got here, and why the Irish team are doing so well. It's just his attention to detail, but the way he's understood the group and what the group's needed. You know, it's a challenge to play this many games in. The amount of time we have, and to keep everyone fresh, largely everyone's got through, and to come and win a series, you know what it's like. Yeah. It's not easy. So Faz is unbelievable. Credit to him. Credit to all the coaches and the group.
And on Off the Ball Breakfast on Tuesday morning, Matt Williams spoke about some of the more memorable moments of the tour.
Beyond the first half of the first test, there was competitiveness throughout this series. But what I'd love to know from you, Matt, is if you agree that the defining moment of the 2025 Lions tour was Hugo Keenan's match-winning try in the second test. Mm-hmm. What was the next most defining moment?
I completely endorse that. Hugo Keenan's try was fantastic. The Lions' fight back was just glorious. Unfortunately, in a glorious game of rugby, someone's got to lose. I wish for the tour that it wasn't. I wish the Wallabies had won that, because we would have got the build-up across the week for a playoff. That's my only... regret, not in any how do I say it? I'm not begrudging the Lions what they did. They deserve their win, and I don't want to talk about the clear out. That's ancient history, but that's what we were denied. I'll give you the two defining moments. Uh-huh. First test, Tom Liner, first run on test, son of a legend, 21 year old. I weigh about 10 kilos more than him. He is such a slight young man. Shows all the courage that his gold jersey makes him show. He jumps for a ball, takes it in the air. Tom Curry hits him high off the ground. It should have been a yellow card. Let's talk about referee, something else. He gets a free shot at a 21-year-old 10 on his first run on. Not one Wallaby grabs Curry and says, "Not you, leave our boy alone. Don't you dare touch him." We come to the Indigenous game down in Adelaide. In Melbourne, and the Wallabies, the Indigenous players, grab Darcy Graham, throw him over the sideline, give him a bit of rough, nothing dirty, just throw him around. And who comes charging in? Owen Farrell. Smashes into him. He's standing up for his guy. And that was the difference between winning that first test and not.
And after much debate on whether Australia still should be part of the Lions rotation, Williams added that it was a fantastic tour.
Everyone says, oh, this was, it was a crap tour. It was a fabulous tour. More people paid money to go and watch this Lions tour than any Lions tour in history. More people went to the Melbourne Cricket Ground to watch a game of rugby than any time in the history of Australia, and the biggest crowd the Lions have ever drawn. Like, these numbers and the numbers on TV and the money it generated, one for the Australian economy, over $410 million for Australian dollars, the Australian economy. But here's the big part. This has bailed Australian rugby out of the red. We were so financially broken that at times I was getting whispers from some guys I know, you know, pretty high up in Australian rugby who were not sleeping at night thinking that they were, you know, becoming close to insolvent. And they certainly had to get a big loan off World Rugby to keep going. This has saved them. Like, in so many ways, this has saved them. And the Lions kept saying, oh, but what about South Africa? We should be going to New Zealand. Like, you know, when you went to Brisbane Airport, there were thousands of Lions supporters lining up the flight of Cairns and the Barrier Reef. Right? There's a whole lot of things about a Lions tour that are just not about the rugby for the supporters. But a Lions tour is for Australia. The next one is for South Africa. The next one is for New Zealand. This was a Lions tour for Australia, not for South Africa or New Zealand. And the Lions tour is not necessarily for the people back in the north. They got to enjoy it, of course. But the Lions tour was for Australians. And the rugby was great, but they really missed an opportunity to engage with the people off the field and leave a legacy that, like Willie John McBride's team could have left or did leave in South Africa. There was a legacy to be left here, and they probably missed part of that beat. But they did play wonderful rugby, and that's what got the Australian people, the Aussie rules people, and the rugby league people watching. And that's Andy Farrell and his team deserve huge credit for that.
And if you want to hear more conversations like that, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app or on YouTube. Or to not miss anything, including Brian O'Driscoll and Ronan O'Gara, why not become a member and subscribe at offtheball.com/join ahead of the new season. Lions hooker Dan Sheehan has been suspended for 4 matches following his illegal clear out of Australia's Tom Lynagh during Saturday's third test in Sydney. The sanction will be reduced to 3 games, subject to the Ireland and Leinster player successfully completing a coaching intervention course. Sheehan's challenge in the first half of the 22-12 loss at Accor Stadium went unpunished by the Georgian referee before he was retrospectively cited. Replays showed the 26-year-old's elbow appeared to make contact with the opponent's head. Wallabies fly half Lynagh kicked a penalty moments after the incident, but was then withdrawn for head injury assessment and did not return. Sheehan will be unavailable for Leinster's pre-season clash with Cardiff on the 13th of September and the United Rugby Championship fixtures against South African sides the Stormers and the Sharks on the 26th of September and the 11th of October respectively. If he serves the full 4-match ban, the forward will also sit out his province's URC clash with rivals Munster on the 18th of October. Australia hooker Dave Parecki has retired from professional rugby at the age of 32, only weeks after reviving his test career. The New South Wales Waratah battled injuries in recent seasons, but made his first Australia appearance under coach Joe Schmidt against Fiji last month after nearly 2 years out of the Wallabies. After suffering a concussion against Fiji and missing the first Lions test in Brisbane, Parecki was recalled for the second clash in Melbourne before being sidelined for the third and final test in Sydney due to a cut heel at training. Capped 21 times for the Wallabies, Parecki said it was the right time to start a new chapter in his life. Parecki was part of the Australia 2023 World Cup squad and became the 88th Wallabies captain after injury to Will Skelton, leading the side in 3 of their 4 pool matches at the tournament. Australia rugby bosses have confirmed that the so-called Giddo's Law which restricted how many overseas-based players previous Wallabies coaches could pick, has been scrapped, according to Mike Henson of BBC Sport. La Rochelle's Will Skelton, as well as Taliana Tupou, Tom Hooper and Langie Gleeson, who will play for Racing 92, Exeter and Montpellier respectively next season, are among those who may benefit. However, Australia say head coach Joe Schmidt will favour players at one of their four Super Rugby franchises if they are of equal calibre to an option outside their borders. The Wallabies, who compete for domestic talent with Aussie Rules and rugby league clubs, have struggled for depth and consistency in recent years, sliding to sixth in the world rankings. The two-time world champions suffered a pool stage exit of the 2023 World Cup in France. However, the likes of playmaker Matt Giddo, wing Drew Mitchell and prop Sekope Kepu lured abroad by big contracts, Giddo's law was introduced to allow a set number of overseas players who had served time in Super Rugby and the national team to still be picked. The law has been further relaxed in recent years, with the players with a commitment to return to Australian rugby excluded from the overseas quota. Centre Len Iketau and prop Angus Belt's forthcoming season-long sabbatical stints at Exeter and Ulster are such moves. Ireland recovered from a slow start to beat Scotland and begin their Women's Rugby World Cup preparations in impressive fashion on Saturday afternoon. Having lost to Italy last week, Scotland raced into an early 14-0 lead in Cork through Lisa Thompson and Lucia Scott tries. But after Scotland lost hooker Lana Skeldon to a serious-looking injury on the half-hour mark, the tide turned in Ireland's favour as Sive McGrath and Maeve Dealey crossed to leave just 2 points between the sides at half-time. Ireland were dominant for long spells in the second half and scored their third when debutante Nancy McGillivray touched down. Scotland hit back thanks to a fine solo effort from Emma Orr, but Ireland rallied in the closing stages through Niamh O'Dowd and Dervla Nicavard. And after the game, speaking to Off the Balls, Susanna Mullen, debutante McGillivray, described her emotions after her first cap.
What a game, a try on your debut. How are you feeling?
I feel like I'm still dreaming about it, to be honest. To even be here with Ireland and get my first cap was unreal. And I guess a try is just the cherry on top. But to be honest, the girls worked their way up the pitch and I kind of just finished it off. So, yeah, I'm really happy though.
And talk to me a little bit, I think people will be curious to know about your background. You played rugby in Hong Kong, kind of moved from sevens to 15s when you came to England. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so I grew up in Hong Kong and played sevens majority of my life and then came to England when I was 18 for university, and that's when I kind of got into 15s rugby and then played with Exeter Chiefs, and then it's been 4 or 5 years now and now with Ireland. Yeah, so it's amazing.
And what kind of pushed you to make the jump? I know you were a bit involved in the England setup. Yes. What pushed you to move over the water?
My dad is Irish, to start off there. I'm not actually English at all. I just have an English passport. So I think a big part of it was also like family and culture. And I think I was in and around England, but I think I kind of had 2 years to figure out what I want. And I think for me, that's to put on the green jersey. And a big part was family and my granddad. Would dream about that all the time, and he's not here today, but I think that's a big part.
That's amazing.
So my dad's dad is from Dublin, O'Brien, but then his mum is from Mayo, County Mayo. Yeah. When I was younger in summers, we always went to Mayo, County Mayo, so that was kind of the place, a little place called Kong. So yes, okay. So I spent a lot of summers there, yeah. Scott was there when I was with England, so I kind of knew him, and I was in camp a few times with Scott as my coach. I was kind of just always in touch with Ireland a little bit. But when I first moved to England, I did the IQ program for Ireland and kind of tried out for that before anything, and then it kind of nothing really happened of that, but they still stayed in touch. But then I kind of just ended up doing Pathway, and then keeping in touch with Scott and kind of keeping that dream alive really, and then kind of figuring out what exactly I wanted in my 15s and my career. I was definitely very nervous to meet everyone, but you know, there's people like Klee, Tricky, Doro, who I'm teammates with, so they made it quite easy for me. But the girls here are amazing. Like, they're so friendly. They kind of, they just had open arms really, and I've learned so much from them. And it feels like we're all sisters now, like a big family. It's really, I'm very grateful to be able to play with girls like this. Yeah.
Ireland head coach Scott Beamond said that the team is trending in the right way.
We're setting ourselves up to be able to play against a Canada, a Japan, a Spain, a New Zealand, and to come through that get any game out there, but not picking up injuries that deplete your squad. From the training that we've gone through, we trained pretty hard to get to that. I believe we're in that sweet spot. So there's some technical tactical elements of performance that we're after, and that's game one. We'll get better next week, and I'd like to think we'll be hitting our straps by the time we get to the World Cup. But with a caveat, it doesn't cost us people. Bay has come on, first game back since the Olympics. We've got valuable minutes to Sam today. We've got youngsters who are taking the park and showing that they can handle this environment. It's trending in the right way. Of course, you need a bit of luck to stay with that. We never take it for granted, but we believe we've prepared the group to go into the competition they're about to go into.
Next up for Ireland is another warm-up match with Canada on Saturday afternoon at Ravenhill in Belfast, where kickoff is at 12 o'clock. James Coughlan's time at Biarritz Olympique appears to be coming to an end. According to sources close to the club reported by Rugbyrama, the new management is looking to part company with the Irishman, who has served as sporting director since June 2024. Coughlan, a former Munster back row, is currently on a permanent contract with BOPB, meaning both sides will need to negotiate the terms of his departure. The 44-year-old transitioned into coaching after his playing days, holding roles at Provence Rugby as a forwards coach, defence coach at Brive and Toulon, before stepping into a broader strategic role at Biarritz. He was appointed to oversee the club's sporting operations just over a year ago. Unless there is a dramatic change of direction, Coughlan's brief stint in the Basque Country looks set to end after just one season. And finally, former Leicester Tigers and England prop Dan Cole has taken up a backroom role with the club following his retirement as a player. The 38-year-old, whose final game for the Tigers was their Premiership final loss against Bath in June, becomes the new recruitment and retention manager. It will see the four-time Premiership winner play a key role in shaping Tigers squads of the future, and we'll see him work closely alongside new head coach and former Tigers teammate Jeff Parling. And that is about all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson, and we'll be back with more later in the week.
In case you missed this morning's Off the Ball breakfast, we had this.
You know, everyone's like, let's go to South Africa. The South African tour was the worst tour, the worst games of international rugby I think I've ever seen. The way that both management teams, the off-field teams, conducted themselves, was disgraceful.
And we also had this.
I love the clip of Niamh Heatherton's second goal, where Carol Arrow gets the ball and she takes a step into Katie New, who takes the tackle. That's what Carla did was technically, by the rule book, a foul. But it wasn't, and that's how the game is played. Nobody's talking about it. It's not front page news that Meath were robbed, that Dublin got a goal that should have been disallowed.
Catch up now elsewhere on the Goal Out app and every weekday morning when Off the Ball Breakfast is live from 7:30 on your OTB social channels.